You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about all things Indiana Pacers, as always. I am one of the hosts of the show, Tony East. I cover the Pacers for Forbes, the West Indianapolis Community News, and the Fieldhouse. And today was supposed to be a day where I had a whole show planned out. I was going to rank the Pacers' playoff opponents. I was going to talk about Lance. I was going to talk about the Heat a lot of it, actually. I was going to talk about some news, but that's kind of harder now. Because they don't have playoff opponents for the foreseeable future. Might be too early. But we're going to keep this show going. We're going to keep Locked On Pacers rolling. Even while the NBA is on hiatus, me and Adam have some fun ideas to watch some old historical games. We'll recap player seasons up to this point. We're just going to do a bunch of fun stuff and figure out where we want to go from here. So instead of 76ers. I was going to talk about the 76ers game tomorrow today too. So instead of doing all that stuff, today will be the last... Well, that's not true. There will be a bunch of dynamic updates involving, you know, how coronavirus is affecting the league. And the Pacers will, of course, talk about that all the time. It won't be like yesterday where that's the entirety of the show. It will be one segment most likely going forward, including today. But, yeah, the show is going to keep going. It's going to be very fun. Today, I'm still going to do some newsy stuff about the team. I want to do a I'm writing something, a shorter thing about how coronavirus is affecting the Pacers in the short term and the league. So a segment on that. And I want to talk about the Lance stuff and why, you know, what was going on with that before he did or did not sign with the team, and what could happen when the league comes back. So let's just start, I guess, with the news dump. The first one's shorter-ish. Actually, honestly, this whole segment is shortish because there hasn't really been a ton of stuff going on right since the Brogdon injury in terms of news for this team, because not a lot's happened. They only played two games. They won in Dallas. They lost the Celtics, but nothing really crazy happened in those games besides, you know, the league mandates about the media rules and stuff. Well, now something happened. Jeremy Lamb underwent successful knee surgery in New York, so he is now going to undergo the rehab process, probably about a year or so timeline for him. So he might be out the entire next season. Depends on how quickly he recovers from such a damaging knee injury. I know that it could be, like, shorter than that, you know, maybe All-Star break next year. But to be on the safe side, I mean, the Pacers are basically three-quarters of the way through this season, a little more than that. It might be safe to assume that he will not play all of the 2020-2021 season, just given that his surgery just happened here in March. I know he was evaluating options post-injury. That's why it didn't happen for a few or a little over a week since it happened. But that's where he's at right now. I'm imagining he's back based on something I'll talk about back in Indiana based on something I'll talk about in a future segment. But good for Lamb. Good that the surgery went well. I know that it seems like every reported surgery in the NBA is a successful surgery, but it's always good to get the good news. So Lamb on the mend for a long time now, and we'll see how that goes. Although this, you know, he can get his body right while the league is delayed. The other thing that's newsy that isn't NBA or Pacers related, I wanted to do a Mad Ants catch-up for the next time I did news, you know, because I do that every month, basically, where I try to do one segment catching us up on the Mad Ants. So this one's a tiny bit different. I still want to talk about kind of where they're at, although the G League season, so before I start, the G League season also got canceled the night of the night that the NBA got suspended, right? So not canceled, excuse me. It also got suspended, so the Mad Ants are done also. They played on Wednesday. They beat the Grand Rapids Drive 111-103. Brian Bowen was phenomenal in that game. He had 13 points just in the first quarter. That's the only quarter I was able to watch. He had all three of his threes. He finished with 28 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He has been a monster in the G League basically since the calendar flipped to 2020. And I heard that he was, you know, driving back home safe that night from Grand Rapids, where they played the Drive on their way home, or he was on his way home. So that's good, and I know a lot of the players are home now, but I don't know what the deal is with the G League suspension, when it would come back. you know, if they're going to look at it the same way as the league in terms of getting guys back on track. But that's where we are now. The G League is done. The Mad Ants end on a 3-game win streak. If it is done at 21-22, they're sneaking up on a playoff spot in the East. They're 9th, although only 6 teams make it. They would have had to have a really excellent ending. But for the Mad Ants, another season of a lot of the same. You know, they are really good at being a good place for the Alizés to go get minutes. The Jakar hasn't played in a while. Let's get him some burn. Stuff like that. They just are really, they do a fantastic job of that. Alizé ended up with some ridiculous stats down there. He talked to me earlier in the season about how helpful that was for him. So did Edmund Sumner and Goga. But the standouts, obviously, in the stat sheet of just the G League guys, Ben Moore, one of my favorites, 14 points and 9 rebounds. He played for the Pacers 2 years ago and a little last year. Brian Bowen I'm just going to assume it's over. I have no actual intel on that. But Brian Bowen finishes with 16 points and 8 rebounds per game. The other Pacers two-way player, Naz Mitrulong, finishes with 14 points and 7 assists per game. Goga, in his 6 appearance, he really had 6 appearances. It doesn't even feel like he was down there that often. But Goga finishes at 19 points and 13 rebounds a game. You know, these NBA guys really do well in these games. But they all enjoy playing down there. And the Mad Ants, almost 500. They also, you know, the Pacers were injured, which screwed up the Mad Ants' plans this year, right? Because they have plans to play some of these NBA guys to develop their own guys with other good players and vets on the floor. So it was a tougher season for them as well because of the injuries. You don't even think of it trickling down that far, but it really did. So, if they're done, basically a 500 year where they also dealt with injuries and brought in some guys during the season and things like that. So just an okay year on the court for them. But overall, considering the challenges, good Mad Ants here. But I want to talk a little bit more about what happened today with coronavirus, how it affects the Pacers a little bit, and then we'll talk about Lance, and then we can get you guys set up for next week and what me and Adam want to do. So the big news since yesterday's show, obviously, is that a second Utah Jazz player has tested positive for coronavirus, COVID-19. That is Donovan Mitchell, so the two Jazz stars, which is just terrible. I mean, I hope they're doing okay. They tested 58 people, including Jazz personnel, including like media and team people. Those are the only two positive diagnoses, which you might be able to consider that a positive. That's not a shockingly high thing, but that's still, you know, out of 300 million people in the country, that could be a shocking ratio. We'll see if it's reflective. But was the first news this morning. And, you know, at first it was alarming to hear Mitchell, but then it felt good to hear only 2 of 58. Then at night, because they had the governor's meeting yesterday to kind of discuss where we're at going forward. Adam Silver announced that it would most likely be at least 30 days until the NBA resumes. He says, what we determined today is that the hiatus will most likely last at least 30 days. We wanted to give direction to our players and teams and to our fans that this is going to be roughly at least a month. So we'll be without the Pacers until at least April. It's really unfortunate because also no March Madness. But public health comes first. Making sure everybody is safe comes first, obviously. So that's where they're going to be at for a while. Vince Goodwill of Yahoo actually reporting that if a player tests positive, it resets the clock for a 14-day clock. So if we get to 29 of 30 days, and then on day 29, a player were to test positive, it would be 14 days from that day instead of the initial 30-day timeline is how I read what Vince Goodwill was saying. So we'll see how long this really takes and what's going on in April before we determine that, but that's the first timeline given by the league. Something else I thought was noteworthy, I didn't talk about this yesterday's show with Jared, but I forget who reported this. Brian Windhorst of ESPN said the 5 teams that the Jazz had played in the 10 days prior to it was determined that they had players with coronavirus, which was the Celtics, Cavs, Pistons, Knicks, and Raptors. All those teams were required to self-quarantine in, you know, their home state or their, I forget what the exact phrasing was. I believe it's remain in market. So the Pacers have played 4 of those teams since the All-Star break. I have no idea if they have any quarantine plans or anything like that. I'm pretty sure some of the front office people worked from home today, just precautionary stuff from the Pacers. But from Shams specifically, he said that teams got rules until March 16th, so the next 4 days, saying that all players had to remain in market of teams, so all the players have to be in Indy for this time. So maybe they are self-quarantine thing. I don't know that. It's just interesting, similar reporting. Also, on Shams' list of things players must do on teams, they have to remain home as long as possible. I have no idea how that pertains to if they have kids or anything like that in say, Justin Holiday's case. But this is all I know of the rules. I'm assuming they're allowed to do stuff like that. No group workouts or practices. Mark Stein adding that, you know, if they do have practices, they have to have one guy on each basket with, like, one coach. And then also team physicians and trainers are to speak to players every day, you know, keep everybody in the loop and up to date and see what's happening. Something else noteworthy for the Pacers, Scott Agnes reported this actually before the league suspension, and I just totally missed talking about it on the show. The Pacers advanced scout is off the road. He is back home. Per Scott, he is over 200 days per year out traveling. So that's a pretty big deal that they called him back amongst, you know, this global health concern. But that's all the stuff that I immediately, you know, coronavirus straight up impact immediately. Long term, I guess I wanted to talk about the cap stuff today, but I probably am going to save that for Monday with Adam because it's a bigger deal and I want to have more specific numbers that I haven't run yet. But I think a shorter termish thing that could, basketball wise, you know, before free agency, that could be a thing. This is kind of a benefit actually of this. But it benefits every team the same way, is the Pacers, specifically, Brogdon's hurt, McDermott was just hurt, Warren was just banged up and got stitches, Oladipo, we know what's been up with him, the more recovery time, the better. They're about to play every other day the rest of the season. I don't know what the schedule's going to look like when we come back, but they now have this time for healing, which is a cursory benefit of something terrible, and I don't want to act like this is a good thing. It's obviously horrible. It's a pandemic for a reason, but for basketball specific reasons, the Pacers do have kind of an opportunity to get healthy, which could be helpful for them, you know, as they push for playoff positioning. The Heat actually lost their last game right before this break, and which would have made my, you know, playoff seeding chase, who would you like to play as the Pacers episode today, more interesting. But that is a topic for another day when we know when games will resume. So some rippling effects, not even ripple effects, some direct impacts on the Pacers from coronavirus. Obviously, again, like I said earlier, dynamic. We'll talk about it as more stuff rolls in. Me and Adam both will be talking about it Monday. But now I'll talk about the Lance stuff because there was some discussions about him being signed, and now that does not appear to be – that didn't appear to be happening, and then obviously big change of course. But I'm going to talk about why that did not happen, or at least connecting some reporting with reality, and then talk about some other stuff around it, and then of course the future of what's going to happen on the show next week. So stick around. So Lance obviously wasn't signed. You know, you all figured that out by now. There was no announcement. We didn't do a show on it. Shams reported pre-league suspension that the Pacers and Lance were in talks on a deal. Okay, that makes sense. I know he included in that tweet a one-off line, which sounds like nothing when it's said like that. He said that, you know, they had to overcome hurdles with Lance's incumbent team in China, or not incumbent, Lance's current team in China. But then Scott Agnes wrote a whole article about signing Lance and what it could mean, and apparently those holdups were really challenging. So I forget his exact team name. I don't have the article in front of me. So Chasten Randall, for example, signed with the Warriors on a 10-day contract from China. He played on a different team than Lance. So how the signing a player from China process worked is it involved clearance from that specific team. So for Chasten Randall, perhaps, I don't know why they would have been more willing to let him go. I haven't looked at the standings or anything, but they were willing to let Randall go and go play for the Warriors, and the Warriors needed him, whereas perhaps Lance's team is less willing to part ways with him. And so now they did not clear that hurdle before everything went down. And then the opposite end of the coronavirus spectrum happened with the Chinese Basketball League. They shut down early February. They are coming back in early April, and they said, okay, all the players who went to America, come back, quarantine for 10 days or 14 days, I think, and then you'll play, and that's Lance. He's in that group. And then I think John Givony of ESPN Draft Express had a report that said, you know, that they're threatening if these guys don't come back, like fines and banning their agents and stuff like that from the Chinese League for a few years. So legit punishments, like they really want Lance to come back. I don't know if he's going to or not amongst what's happening, but it seems like a lot of that was at play for why the Pacers were unable to sign him, is because his team he's actually signed with in China didn't want to let him go. And Scott had this in his article. I do remember this, that the team he's on, I think he said, was in third place in the league, and they wanted to push for a title. And Lance is like one of the best, if not the best player in that entire league. So they obviously think they have a shot. So why let this guy go? And they signed him to a huge deal. I think Chris Haynes said this summer, you know, Chinese league contracts are impossible to find, but I think it was like $4 million for him on that team. And from limited research, you know, Jimmer Fredette and Jeremy Lin, that's the richest contract in that league, is what Lance is getting paid. So obviously the team that has him is going to want to keep him since they're paying him all that money and things like that. I don't know how the negotiations between them and the Pacers would have worked, whatever. But it didn't work out. They were not able to pull him in for any games before the league suspension. Now it's looking like, you know, if like the reason they were going to bring him in, because Agnes and Adam Zagoria reported that just after the Lamb injury, the Pacers were not interested in bringing him in. But then the Brogdon one changed that dynamic, and they said, oh, okay, now we need the guard play. Let's do this. So my reservation with that right away was, you know, I totally understand they need depth at guard, and I totally understand Lance sells tickets. If those are your goals with the signing, he's the best guy. But if they really wanted a depth guard who was going to play, I think they had better options. So that's why I think he wasn't going to play much if they did sign him. But there are a lot of better guys, you know, if they actually, like, say, if Aaron Holiday went down, I would have been Tyler Johnson first call right away, right? He was on the Suns earlier this year. He's a free agent right now. He's good. I would have immediately reached out to him as the Pacers and said, hey, can you spot us 10 to 15 minutes a game, right? He's the guy if they were going for someone good who could actually, you know, really, really contribute. I love Ian Clark. I think he's out there. J.R. Smith. I think these guys are better than Lance. But A, Lance is better with the Pacers than any other team. Perhaps he could surpass those guys. Again, although he's had some rough patches in his last stints, but you never know. And B, again, the reasoning for signing Lance would not have been to necessarily be this meaningful contributor in the rotation. It would have been rather to, you know, have the depth, have a fan favorite, put butts in seats. But now, you know, if Brogdon comes back after the suspension, are they going to do it? I think that seems less likely. I don't know that to be true. I don't know how this is all going to go down, but that's what that's my thoughts on the situation of why he's not here and what's going on. So let's talk about Locked On Pacers. You're listening today. I appreciate you very much. We want to keep the show rolling going forward. I know it's going to be harder with no games, but Adam and I were texting a little bit today, and I don't know how many of you do like rewatchables with The Ringer, but you know, we talked about like picking a few games out from the 2003-2004 season and talking about stuff from back then, just covering it like we do for games now, and being like, hey, we watched, you know, the Reggie Miller 2003 Pacers versus whoever, some team, whatever random game we could find. Tonight, if you check my Twitter feed, @TEastNBA, I caught the Game 5 of Pacers Nets in 2002. The Pacers lost that game in double overtime of Game 5. But that was the first old game I watched. I got to see Reggie go crazy in the clutch, and Ron Mercer played a great game. You know, stuff like that. If you guys would have interest in that, we'd be all over it. It'd be really fun. I think that'd be a great way to keep some interest, to talk about something cool, to talk about basketball still, because there's not many sports at all going on. But we still want to offer you guys that sports release. And, of course, we love doing the show, and you guys like listening. And, we, you know, we'll also talk, you know, we do player season reviews every year, usually in May, while the playoffs are going on for other teams when the Pacers have been knocked out. We can kind of intermittently do that for some guys, especially Jeremy Lamb, you know, since he's actually done for the season, things like that. Take a look around at some favorite Pacers memories of the year, stuff like that. And, of course, hear from you. If you have any ideas for stuff you'd want to hear from us during this break, because, you know, we want to be there for you every day. Keep your entertainment going while there is no sports going on. But I would love to continue to talk about this stuff. I'd be willing to go as far as talking about free agency in the summer for you guys. You know how much I hate talking about free agency while games are going on, but there's not games going on. So I'm happy to do it. Please let me know on Twitter, email, whatever, at Locked On Pacers is the show. Again, I'm at TEastNBA. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to rewatching some old games and talking about them with you and talking about how this Pacers season's been going. So thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show and what we have planned going forward. Should be really fun still, I think. So stick around and keep listening. And thank you guys so much. Stay healthy. Have a great weekend.